Welcome to the History of North America. I'm Mark Vinette. At the start of the 17th century, the initial phase of European exploration of the North American continent slowly began to move towards colonization. This early, fledgling colonial movement was in need of strong, talented, and determined leaders. Bartholomew Gosnold obtained backing to attempt to found an English colony in the New World, and in 1602, he set sail in a small bark named the Concord, with 32 on board. Captain Gosnold pioneered a direct sailing route due west from the Azores to what later became New England, arriving at Cape Elizabeth off the southern coast of Maine. He and his men eventually made their way further south along the coastline with the intention of establishing a colony and small fishing outpost in the southern part of New England. Let's listen to first-hand accounts of their adventures, provided by the good folks at LibriVox.
Bartholomew Gosnold's Discovery of Cape Cod, 1602, by Gabriel Archer, one of his companions. The 1st of June, we employed ourselves in getting sassafras and the building of our fort. The 2nd, 3rd, and 4th, we wrought hard to make ready our house for the provision to be had ashore to sustain us till our ship's return. This day, from the main, came to our ship's side a canoe with their lord or chief commander, for that they made little stay, only pointing to the sun, as in sign that the next day he would come and visit us, which he did accordingly. The 5th we continued our labor, when there came unto us, ashore from the main, 50 Indians, stout and lusty men, with their bows and arrows. Amongst them there seemed to be one of authority, because the rest made an inclining respect unto him. The ship was at their coming a league off, and Captain Gosnold aboard. And so likewise Captain Gilbert, who almost never went ashore, the company with me, only 8 persons. These Indians in hasty manner came toward us, so as we thought fit to make a stand at an angle between the sea and a fresh water. I moved myself toward him 7 or 8 steps, and clapped my hands first on the sides of mine head, then on my breast, and after presented my musket with a threatening countenance, thereby to signify unto them either a choice of peace or war. Whereupon he using me with mine own signs of peace, I stepped forth and embraced him. His company then all sat down in manner like greyhounds upon their heels, with whom my company fell a-bartering. By this time Captain Gosnold was come with 12 men more from aboard, and to show the Indian senior that he was our captain, we received him in a guard, which he, passing through, saluted the senior with ceremonies of our salutations, whereat he nothing moved or altered himself. Our captain gave him a straw hat and a pair of knives. The hat a while he wore, but the knives he beheld with great marveling, being very bright and sharp. This, our courtesy, made them all in love with us. The 8th we divided the victuals, namely the ship's store for England, and that of the planters which by Captain Gilbert's allowance could be but 6 weeks for 6 months, whereby there fell out controversy the rather, for that some seemed secretly to understand of a purpose Captain Gilbert had not to return with supply of the issue, those goods should make by him to be carried home. Besides, there wanted not ambitious conceits in the minds of some wrangling and ill-disposed persons who overthrew the stay there at that time, which upon consultation thereof had about 5 days after was fully resolved all for England again. There came in this interim aboard unto us, that stayed all night, an Indian whom we used kindly, and the next day sent ashore. He showed himself the most sober of all the rest, we held him sent as a spy. In the morning he filched away our pot-hooks, thinking he had not done any ill therein. Being ashore, we bid him strike fire, which, with an emerald stone, such as the glaciers use to cut glass, he did. I take it to be the very same that in Latin is called smearis, for striking therewith upon touchwood that of purpose he had, by means of a mineral stone used therein. Sparkles proceeded, and forthwith kindled with making of flame. The 9th we continued working on our storehouse, for, as yet remained in us, a desired resolution of making stay. The 10th Captain Gosnold fell down with the ship to the little islet of cedars called Hill's Hap, to take in cedarwood, leaving me and 9 more in the fort, only with 3 meals meat, upon promise to return the next day. The 13th began some of our company, that before vowed to stay, to make revolt, whereupon the planters diminishing, all was given over. The 14th, 15th, and 16th we spent in getting sassafras and firewood of cedar, leaving house and little fort, by 10 men in 19 days sufficient made to harbor 20 persons at least with their necessary provisions. The 17th we set sail, doubling the rocks of Elizabeth's Island and passing by Dover Cliff, came to anchor at Martha's Vineyard, being 5 leagues distant from our fort, where we went ashore and had young cranes, hernshows, and geese, which now were grown to pretty bigness. The 18th we set sail and bore for England, cutting off our shallop that was well able to land 25 men or more, a boat very necessary for the like occasions. The winds do range most commonly upon this coast in the summertime, westerly. In our homeward course, we observed the foresaid floating weeds to continue till we came within 200 leagues of Europe. The 23rd of July, we came to anchor before Exmouth.
Bartholomew Gosnold's Discovery of Cape Cod, 1602, Gosnold's own account. From a letter to his father, dated September 1st, 1602. I was in good hope that my occasions would have allowed me so much liberty as to have come unto you before this time. Otherwise I would have written more at large concerning the country from whence we lately came than I did, but not well remembering what I have already written, though I am assured that there is nothing set down disagreeing with the truth, I thought it fittest not to go about to add anything in writing, but rather to leave the report of the rest till I come myself, which now I hope shall be shortly, and so soon as with conveniency I may. In the meantime, notwithstanding whereas you seem not to be satisfied by that which I have already written, concerning some especial matters, I have here, briefly and as well as I can, added these few lines for your further satisfaction. We cannot gather, by anything we could observe in the people, or by any trial we had thereof ourselves, but that it is as healthful a climate as any can be. The inhabitants there, as I wrote before, being of tall stature, comely proportion, strong, active, and some of good years, and as it should seem, very healthful, are sufficient proof of the healthfulness of the place. First, for ourselves, thanks be to God, we had not a man sick 2 days together in all our voyage, whereas others that went out with us, or about that time on other voyages, especially such as went upon reprisal, were most of them infected with sickness, whereof they lost some of their men, and brought home a many sick, returning notwithstanding long before us. But Verrazano and others, as I take it you may read in the Book of Discoveries, do more particularly entreat of the age of the people in that coast. The sassafras which we brought we had upon the islands, where, though, we had little disturbance, and reasonable plenty, yet for that the greatest part of our people were employed about the fitting of our house, and such like affairs, and a few, and those but easy laborers, undertook this work, the rather because we were informed before our going forth that a ton was sufficient to cloy England, and further, for that we had resolved upon our return, and taken view of our victual, we judged it then needful to use expedition, which afterward we had more certain proof of, for when we came to an anchor before Portsmouth, which was some 4 days after we made the land, we had not one cake of bread, nor any drink, but a little vinegar left. For these and other reasons we returned no otherwise laden than you have heard. And thus much I hope shall suffice till I can myself come to give you further notice, which, though it be not so soon as I could have wished, yet I hope it shall be in convenient time.
Check out the YouTube version of this episode, which has accompanying images. Please help us grow by sharing this podcast with a friend. Thanks. I'm Mark Vinette, and I hope you're enjoying the ride.